Hi folks, this is Tony for aminutetomidnight.com. Please make sure you subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com. And just let people know, there's been a few really interesting articles posted on our website recently. Articles from Rob Pugh, from Eric Stogner, and also from Jeremy, the ex-32nd degree Freemason. Now, a lot of people are always asking, where's Jeremy? How is he? Have you heard from him? And so on. Well, this is not an audio interview with him, but there is a very interesting article outlining a personal account of government overreach. I found it, you know, some of it incensed me, and that's why I felt it was important to publish what Jeremy sent. So please go to our website and read our articles. That particular article from Jeremy is called "We Have to Stop Farming to Keep People from Starving to Death." And I think that may give you some idea what that article is about. You'll go to the website and read the article. It's real interesting that they label people like us a conspiracy theorist, when in fact, you know, it's conspiracy fact, much of it. And the world, as we should know, those that follow this channel by now should know, that it is run by a group of largely Luciferian elites. And I'm going to outline some of what is going on and some of the people to be watching for and things to be watching for with the ongoing development towards world government and a one world religion. And these Luciferian elites are trying to take us into
the creation of a new world order.
Now, there are obviously some important vehicles and institutions that these elites are using to take us into that new world order or Great Reset, Fourth Industrial Revolution. They include the World Economic Forum, the WHO, which is part of the United Nations, and it is the United Nations that I want to look at first. I'm just going to lay a foundation here with a very brief history of the United Nations. In 1942, representatives of 26 countries fighting the Rome-Berlin-Tokyo axis decided to affirm their support by signing the Declaration by United Nations. Then, following that, in 1945 was held what is known as the San Francisco Conference. They had a number of meetings, and then it was on the 25th of June that they held the last meeting. Lord Halifax presided and put the final draft of the charter to the meeting. "This issue upon which we are about to vote," he said, "is as important as any we shall ever vote in our lifetime." The next day, the charter was signed. That's the United Nations Charter. Behind each delegate stood the other members of the delegation against a colourful semicircle of flags of 50 nations. "The Charter of the United Nations, which you have just signed," said President Truman in addressing the final session, "is a solid structure upon which we can build a better world. History will honour you for it. Between the victory in Europe and the final victory in this most destructive of all wars, you have won a victory against war itself. With this charter, the world can begin to look forward to the time when all worthy human beings may be permitted to live decently as free people." The United Nations did not come into existence at the signing of the charter. In many countries, a charter had to be approved by their congresses or parliaments. But on the 24th of October 1945, the United Nations officially came into existence. 4 years of planning and the hope of many years had materialized in an international organization designed to end war and promote peace, justice, and better living for all mankind. I'm not going to spend any great time on discussing the Theosophical Society, but it's important to mention the following: that on May 3rd, 1878, in a prospectus issued to explain the origin, plan, and aim of the Theosophical Society, to the pen of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and drafted by a Colonel H.S. Olcott, was stated this, just a very short piece I'll read.
The society teaches and expects its fellows to personally exemplify the highest morality and religious aspiration, now get this, to oppose the materialism of science and every form of dogmatic theology, especially the Christian, which the chiefs of the society regard as particularly pernicious, to make known among Western nations the long-suppressed facts about Oriental religious philosophies, their ethics, chronology, esotericism, symbolism, to counteract as far as possible the efforts of missionaries to delude the so-called heathen and pagans as to the real origin and dogma of Christianity. And so on it goes. Basically, Blavatsky was saying straight out there that the goal is to subvert Christianity. The reason why I felt it was important to mention that is because Madame Blavatsky was a huge influence on Alice A. Bailey, who founded in 1922 the Lucifer Publishing Company, which is now known today as the Lucius Trust, and it is centered in the United Nations. You're going to see why the connection between Blavatsky and Bailey, the Lucius Trust, and the United Nations is so significant. This is from the Lucius Trust website. For a brief period of 2 or 3 years in the 1920s, when Ellis and Foster Bailey were beginning to publish the books published under her name, they named their fledgling publishing company Lucifer Publishing Company. By 1925, the name was changed to Lucius Publishing Company, has remained that ever since. Both Lucifer and Lucius come from the same root word, Lucius, being the Latin generative case meaning of light. The Baileys' reason for choosing the original name are not known to us, but we can only surmise that they, like the great teacher H.P. Blavatsky, for whom they had enormous respect, sought to elicit a deeper understanding, get this, of the sacrifice made by Lucifer. Ellis and Foster Bailey were serious students and teachers of Theosophy, a spiritual tradition which views Lucifer as one of the solar angels, those advanced beings who Theosophy say descended, thus the fall, from Venus to our planet eons ago to bring the principle of mind to what was then animal man. In the theosophical perspective, the descent of these solar angels was not a fall into sin or disgrace, but rather an act of great sacrifice, as is suggested in the name Lucifer, which means light bearer. Now, for those of you who may not know, the god of Luciferian witchcraft, or Seth, or Set, known as Samael or Satan, they believe that Azazel or Lucifer brought to Cain the black flame of consciousness, which is pretty much what they've just said in the Lucius Trust document there. In their belief, this was Set's gift, or whoever, Satan, Samael, whatever you want to call him, gift to mankind. In the black tradition of the Luciferian Trinity is Samael, Lilith, and Cain. And the goddess of Luciferian witchcraft is Lilith. They actually believe that Samael or Satan is not the devourer as the Bible teaches, but is the saviour. And further to that, in her book The Secret Doctrine, volume 1, page 194, it says, "Fall of angels, as it is called, Satan and his rebellious host would thus prove, when the meaning of the allegory is explained, to have refused to create physical man, only to become, listen to this, the direct saviours and the creators of divine man." So you can there see the direct quote from Madame Blavatsky's book. Okay, now folks, it's going to start to get really interesting, I think, here, and somewhat alarming. We're going to look at the Lucius Trust. Before I look more specifically at the teachings of Alice Bailey, I want to just go to the Lucius Trust website here. Lucius Trust, support of the United Nations. The Lucius Trust has consultative status with the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and World Goodwill is recognised by the Department of Public Information at the United Nations as a non-governmental organisation or NGO. Plays an active role in the United Nations, particularly in spreading information about the UN and fostering support for UN programmes. Since their inception, Lucius Trust and World Goodwill have given their support through meditation, educational materials and seminars by highlighting the importance of the UN's goals and activities as they represent the voice of the peoples and nations of the world. So World Goodwill is just one part of the Lucius Trust, okay? One of the things they do. There's a bunch of others, but let's just look at that for a minute. World Goodwill at the UN. In order to place a closer focus on the work of the United Nations and in particular the Sustainable Development Goals, the new Sustainable Development Goals for Humanity have set a transformative agenda for the 15-year period 2015 to 2030. Never before has there been such a broad-based dialogue and negotiation between government, civil society, business and academia to determine achievable goals and targets. In a previous video, I looked at sustainable development and how the Pope is big time involved in that. Well, World Goodwill and the Lucius Trust is extremely deeply involved in it. Now, founded in 1932 as an activity of Lucius Trust, World Goodwill programs and publications are administered by an international group operating through headquarters in London, New York, and Geneva. Now, all of those headquarters are at the United Nations, by the way. The Lucius Trust is on the roster of the United Nations Economic and Social Council. World Goodwill strongly believes that the UN should be supported as the main hope for humanity's future. It sounds like they're just some little fringe part of the United Nations, but actually they are essentially part of the United Nations, at the very heart of the United Nations, as we will see a bit further on. Madame Blavatsky was basically the founder of the New Age movement, and Alice Bailey carried it on. And when you hear people talking about light and love and wishing you light and love, it comes from the Great Invocation, which you can see here. And of course, the plan has nothing to do with God's plan. It is the plan of the God of this world, whom we know as Lucifer or Satan.
Okay, now I want to move on to the Vatican. Now, we know that Pope Francis is always espousing the UN's Sustainable Development Goals and the climate, alleged anyway, climate change emergency. Pope Francis is a big spokesperson for those things. And there are a lot of Christian, allegedly, I should say, Christian ministries, or those posing as Christian ministries that want to reunite Christianity as a whole with the Vatican. One of those people, for example, which I want to just quickly point out, is Kenneth Copeland.
True Christians cannot unite with the false doctrines of the Vatican. This is one aspect where Kenneth Copeland is showing his true colours.
Involvement in the Vatican is very, 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 very close. Praise God. One of my favorite days in my life was with Pope Francis. What a man. He's one of my heroes.
Now let's turn our attention to Pope Francis. Here, in two separate pictures, he is showing what appears to be the hidden hand sign that is associated with ancient mystery schools and particularly Freemasonry. It should be a clear sign that he is somehow involved in the ancient mystery religion. He may not necessarily be a Freemason, but as a Jesuit, it would seem that he is signaling his involvement in some way with the ancient mystery schools. So folks, do you remember this from 2015 when Pope Francis met with figureheads from a number of other religions? And when Kenneth Copeland and others are calling for unity with Rome and the Vatican, ultimately what that means is unity with other religions outside of Christianity.
We've seen Pope Francis using the hidden hand or lion's paw, which is one of the trademarks of the Luciferian or the ancient Babylonian mystery school religion. Now, we know that there's a drive towards a one-world religion. Originally, the Tower of Babel in the Bible, you know, they were trying to create a unity which God dispersed. The same thing is going on again today. So it's interesting that that was in old ancient Babylon, and we have a reviving of ancient Babylonian mystery religion today. It's often said that Pope Francis is a Marxist. Well, that's not really surprising, because what I'm going to show you in a minute, you'll also see Karl Marx using that same hidden hand or lion's paw gesture. And for those that don't know, by the way, The Economist magazine was created by the Rothschilds, and Evelyn, the late Evelyn de Rothschild, was heavily involved in it.
Karl Marx deemed The Economist the European organ of the aristocracy of finance. It would be no surprise that Karl Marx would have had tie-ups there, because he was actually third cousin to the Rothschilds, and he was paid to write the Communist Manifesto and was actually financed by the Rothschilds. Many believe that Karl Marx was actually very much a part of the Illuminati and was a Luciferian or Satanist himself, not an atheist.
As I mentioned at the beginning, there are a number of institutions that the global elite are using to push us towards their one world government and one world religion. And another of those institutions I want to mention is the Council on Foreign Relations.
Council on Foreign Relations member James Warburg to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on February the 17th, 1950, allegedly said the following: "We shall have world government whether or not you like it, by conquest or consent." The late David Rockefeller was also at one point a director on the Council on Foreign Relations. I find this quote from Larry P. McDonald, US Congressman, 1976, as very, very interesting and troubling. He said the following: "The drive of the Rockefellers and their allies is to create a one-world government combining supercapitalism and communism under the same tent, all under their control. Do I mean conspiracy? Yes, I do. I'm convinced that there is such a plot, international in scope, generations old in planning, and incredibly evil in intent."
None of the three men in this picture are with us anymore. Evelyn de Rothschild, Jacob Rothschild, and David Rockefeller have all passed away and gone on to their just rewards. But I want to use this picture as an example of dualism and as above, so below.
This now brings me to the as above, so below, which is dualism, and you'll find that throughout all of occultism, all the mystery schools. And you can see it here. There is Jacob Rothschild and David Rockefeller with the yin and yang type sculpture, the black and the white there in the corner, which they are showing you that they are dualists. And with the as above, so below type philosophy, you will also notice that there are two partridges, etc., on the mantelpiece. Everything is symmetrical or dualistic. And note also that the clock has the hands at 9:04, which if you add that up, that equals 13. And the number 13 is very significant to occultists, as you know. Nothing is done by accident with these people. As many people will know, the US dollar is full of symbolism, and it comes from the ancient mystery schools and probably Freemasonry. Note how many times 13 appears on the US dollar: 13 leaves, 13 berries, 13 arrows, 13 stripes on the coat of arms, 13 stars above the head of the eagle or phoenix, 13 letters in E Pluribus Unum, 13 rows of steps, 13 letters in Annuit Coptuus. Novus Ordo Seclorum translates as out of many, one. That's also 13 characters. Now, is the American Eagle actually a phoenix? We will come to the phoenix again a bit later, but keep that in mind. We also have the all-seeing eye and the pyramid. The combination of these symbols is more than a coincidence, according to 33rd degree Freemason Manly P. Hall. There is only one possible origin for these symbols, and that is the secret societies which came to the United States 150 years before the Revolutionary War. Among those who helped design the Great Seal of the United States, the following are known to have been Masons: Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, William Churchill Houston, and William Barton.
One of the symbols that is very common throughout occultism is the phoenix, and often you'll hear things like rising from the ashes, which is from the phoenix. I won't go too much into detail on the ancient history of the phoenix here, but just note how it is being used today.
The phoenix is long associated with ancient mystery schools, which of course the Rothschilds are allegedly a part of. And we've seen the phoenix on the US dollar, we've seen it on the cover of The Economist magazine as well. It is also no coincidence that the Rothschilds have an affinity and an association with the ancient symbols of the all-seeing eye and the pyramid.
So we're working not only on a big flagship project, we do that very occasionally, like the Supreme Court.
Jacob Rothschild was, of course, referring to the Israel Supreme Court, which the Rothschilds' family agreed to donate the building under three conditions: that they were to choose the plot of land, they were to choose their own architect, and no one would even know the price of the construction. And it is very obviously full of Illuminati symbolism. Too much to talk about here, except you will notice immediately the pyramid with the eye in it is a prominent feature of the Israeli Supreme Court.
So the symbols of Luciferianism are everywhere in the world today, and particularly in institutions that have global power and reach, the big ones. But isn't really surprising when you look at the role of Satan, Lucifer, through the Bible, throughout history, and where the culmination of this will be.
Also, if you read further in another book called The Externalization of the Hierarchy, listen to this one. Alice A. Bailey said, "I have earlier told you that the five masters concerned with the initial stages of the organization of the hierarchy on Earth are the Master KH, the Master Maurya, the Master R, the Master who started the labor movement in the modern world, and myself, the so-called Master DK. Remember, Alice A. Bailey is supposedly channeling the Master DK to write this. So this is why when she says myself, the so-called Master DK, it's because she's supposedly channeling him, okay? I'll carry on. The division of labor is here of great interest. In my June message for 1948, I referred to the five specialized energies which were at the time released to carry forward their impersonal task. Each of these energies is concerned with the desired organization, for it must ever be remembered that through the organization, which we are considering is concerned with the interior or subjective work of the hierarchy, the repercussions and resultant effects will take place on Earth, with physical plane effects, because the old occult truism, as above, so below, will be rapidly and objectively demonstrated. The result and the effects produced will constitute one of the modes whereby the hierarchy will prove its factual presence on Earth." Now remember, the hierarchy is a spiritual hierarchy of these ascended masters. That's who is being spoken of here by Bailey, or the Master DK through Alice A. Bailey. So we can see it's absolutely occult, okay? You'll find many, many other mentions of as above, so below in the works of occultists. Okay, so now that we've established it's an occult term, The Message Bible uses the term as above, so below in its rendition of the Lord's Prayer. Matt S. of A Minute to Midnight did a great article on this a while ago. It's worth checking that out. Most of us know the Lord's Prayer as saying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But that's not what the Message Bible says. The Message Bible says, "Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are, set the world right, do what's best, as above, so below." So, wow. Why is "as above, so below" in the Message Bible? I'll tell you why, because I believe the Message Bible is a deliberate New Age distortion of the Bible and is bringing everyone into the oneness religion of the New World Order. It's not by chance, it's deliberate. And there are many other things in the Message Bible that point to this New Age message.
In some previous videos over the years, I've endeavored to show how "as above, so below" has been used in Christian circles in recent years, and I don't believe that's it by any accident when we're moving towards a global religion. And so I want to just touch a little bit on that here.
Firstly, if we look in Luke chapter 4, and this is the temptations of Jesus, it says in verse 6, "The devil said to him, 'All this authority I'll give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship me, all will be yours.'" Lucifer there, or Satan, is demanding worship. He's not disguising himself. Jesus knows exactly who he is, and he says that all the kingdoms and authority have been given to him. Now, if that were a lie, Jesus would have pulled him up on it, but in fact he didn't. So I believe that shows the devil is in control in the world system, and ultimately he wants to be worshipped. And he also says he can give that power to whomever he wishes. If we flip across to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 4, it says, "So they worshipped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast?'" So it says in that verse that they worship the dragon. We know from scripture that the dragon is Satan or Lucifer. The secret societies that follow the ancient mystery religion acknowledge Lucifer, and many actually worship him. Muslims don't worship Lucifer, at least not consciously, but Freemasons, the Illuminists, do. This can even be traced to, for example, the Lucius Trust, formerly the Lucifer Publishing Company, who have their headquarters at the United Nations. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4, it says, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God." See, that is what Lucifer, I believe, already is doing. He's replacing God. He's replacing Jesus through the New Age movement and the Luciferians, and he is placing himself as God. The ultimate coup would be if he can get all of humanity to worship him as the replacement for God. So I want to show you why I think that is a distinct possibility, that the one world religion will end up being a worshipping of Lucifer, and that they will know exactly who they're worshipping. Lucifer, or Satan, will give his power to the beast, and ultimately, because he's such a narcissist, he will want the worship for himself through the beast. And so the global religion, I believe, will be one that actually worships Lucifer.
Folks, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve Lucifer and God, Jesus, at the same time. You can't be a Freemason and a Christian. Make no mistake about it. If you're a Freemason, you need to get out. If you call yourself a Christian, and there are a lot of people that have called themselves Christians who are, in fact, Freemasons as well. And just to close, I want to mention a website called esotericfreemasons.com, which I think is a Freemason, genuine Freemason website. I can't be totally sure, but it lists a lot of people on there. who you wouldn't necessarily think were Freemasons, but are, according to this website, or were the ones that are still alive or dead. And they include Bill Gates. It says on here, Bill Gates is another technology giant who is an active Mason. He served as worshipful master at his lodge in Washington State, and he has donated millions to charitable causes throughout Masonic organizations. It also says that Steve Jobs was a Freemason. Anyway, folks, you need to make a decision who you serve. And for those of us that follow this channel, I hope and pray that you have chosen Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and that he is your master. So that's it for this video. God bless, and God willing, we'll have another video out soon.